KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have clear skies and 15 degrees in Atlantic. Looking forward to be mostly sunny here today with a high around 38. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Well, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa said Wednesday that a Pottawatomie County man was sentenced to a little more than 5 years in prison for bank robbery. In addition to the 65-month sentence, Judge John Jarvie also ordered 45-year-old William Martin Fiorentino Jr. to serve a 3-year term of supervised release following incarceration. Fiorito Jr. pled guilty on October 4th of last year to robbing the People's National Bank on West Broadway in Council Bluffs back on October 11th of 2011. During the incident, the man produced a note demanding money and advised he had a firearm. The teller at the time of the robbery observed what appeared to be the grips of a handgun protruding from the top of Fiorito's waistband, and the teller provided money to him as demanded. Fiorito left the bank and entered a second branch of the People's National Bank on West Broadway a few minutes later, where he again demanded money. His second attempt, however, failed. The investigation into his activities was conducted by the Council Bluffs Police Department, Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office, Pott County Attorney's Office, FBI, and was prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. News time is 8:03.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
The Iowa State Patrol reported Wednesday afternoon that a Greenfield teen and her mother were injured during a two-vehicle collision Tuesday evening on the west side of Greenfield. An SUV driven by 14-year-old Samantha College of Greenfield was traveling north on Lakeview Drive at around 6:30 p.m. when she stopped at the intersection with Highway 92. As she proceeded across the highway, the Chevy Blazer she was driving was hit by a 2013 Chevy Silverado pickup driven by 76-year-old Donald Shannon of Greenfield. Following that collision, the SUV came to rest on the south shoulder of the highway, while the pickup came to rest in the north ditch. Samantha College and her passenger, 46-year-old Deborah College, were transported by Adair Rescue to the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. A report on their condition is not available. The Page County Sheriff's Office says no injuries were reported to the driver of a full-size pickup after the vehicle collided with a deer, which then landed on the windshield and side window. The accident happened around 7:30 Monday morning on Highway 48 between Avenues H and G in Page County. Authorities say 43-year-old Gary Longfellow of Corning was driving a 2002 Chevy C1500 Silverado when he came upon a herd of deer crossing the road. Longfellow was unable to stop in time to prevent striking one of the animals. Damage to his truck was estimated at $2,500. Officials at the Council Bluffs-based Iowa West Foundation say $4 million in grants will be disbursed for the fourth quarter of 2012. The grants, which were announced yesterday, will be used to assist 35 nonprofit organizations and governmental entities with funding for area projects. Among the grant recipients were the cities of Griswold and Lewis, which received $7,500 and $6,500, respectively, for community building improvements. The city of Kimbolton received a $38,000 grant for park and trail improvements as part of the designation of an Iowa Great Place with its neighboring Danish village of Elkhorn. Other Iowa West 2012 fourth quarter grants include, but were not limited to, the Adams County Conservation Board, which received $20,000 for Timber Ridge Campground improvements at Lake Icaria. The City of Elliott, $26,000 for a wetlands bridge and trail in a watershed area. The City of Hancock received $14,000 from the Iowa West Foundation for a community electronic message board. The City of Shelby, a new concession facility for the city park, the grant amounting to $8,000. A $15,000 grant was provided to the Mills County Prevent Child Abuse Council for their Circles for Support program. $21,000 was provided to the Page County Conservation Board for their equestrian campground at Pierce Creek Park. And Turnbull Child Development Center received technology upgrade money for the child care center in Shenandoah, amounting to $3,000 from IWF. Funding for the foundation's grants comes from investment earnings in the Iowa West Racing Association, which receives contracted fees from casino operators Ameristar and Harrah's. Requests for Iowa West grant applications for the second quarter of 2013 will begin on March the 1st of 2013. More information can be found on the Foundation's website at www.iowawestfoundation.org. More people spent time last year camping in an Iowa state park compared to 2011. Jim Lawson with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources says the parks were unusually busy in March of last year because there was no snow and temperatures had climbed into the 70s.
Actually, our camping during March and April was up probably around 25% over the previous year. So we started off very strong and continued strong throughout the summer.
The DNR is reporting total camping guest days in Iowa state parks at 709,595 in 2012. That's up from 684,417 in 2011. The busiest campground in the state last year was really no surprise.
Just about year after year, our top camping area would be the Gull Point Complex in the Great Lakes region.
Okoboji's Gull Point was followed in popularity by Rock Creek and Kellogg, Viking Lake State Park near Stanton, Lake Aquabie in Indianola, Clear Lake in Clear Lake, of course, and Lake Anita in Anita. Now, Lake Manawa in Council Bluffs was also included in the top 10 most popular lakes in Iowa for 2012. Lawson pointed out that three state park campgrounds were closed last year for renovations, and that includes Emerson Bay at Okoboji, Wilson Island near Council Bluffs, and Lake Darling in southeast Iowa. The Emerson Bay and Lake Darling campground areas are scheduled to reopen this year. After an hour-long second public hearing and 5 minutes of discussion, the Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday morning approved a last-minute amendment to a proposed ordinance pertaining to permitted uses, structures, and parking requirements for light industrial zones and adopted the ordinance as amended on the second reading. During the hearing, the sticking point for many who were in attendance was item 17 of an amendment to Section 3.12 of the Light Industrial Schedule, which stipulated that industrial facilities utilize or use renewable resources, including but not limited to agricultural byproducts. The concerns with that were that any business could be built in a light industrial zone that uses even a fraction of renewable energy, and that its wording was entirely too vague. Well, the amended ordinance leaves intact item 16, which simply includes alternative energy production facilities in a light industrial zone. Kathy Showalter with Planscape Partners, who represented Amazing Energy site buyer Ron Fagan, suggested that in order to expedite the proceedings, item 17 be dropped entirely.
I mean, I'm really going out on a limb here, since there seems to be general consensus that the alternative energy production facility is the intent, and that's acceptable if you amend the zoning ordinance with issue number 16 included, but strike number 17, will that get this passed and waived today and have it done?
And it did, of course. And once the hearing was closed, Board Chairman Mark Wiedemeyer thanked everyone for their input.
We do want to accommodate industry, but we also don't want to give away the county. We're making progress.
As amended, the ordinance becomes official once it is publicized in the local papers. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, federal prosecutors say an Omaha woman who used spas as a front for prostitution has been sentenced to prison. U.S. District Judge Laurie Smith Camp sentenced 46-year-old Kimberly Bivens Wednesday to more than 3 years in federal prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release. Bivens pleaded guilty to an interstate prostitution conspiracy charge. She had operated three Omaha spas from 2009 to 2011 and placed ads on the Internet. An FBI and Omaha Police Department investigation found 20 workers were performing sex acts for customers in exchange for money. Authorities say the operation attracted customers from Nebraska, Iowa, and even other states. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a news agency in Mauritania is quoting Islamist militants as saying that Algerian helicopters have strafed the natural gas complex, where they're holding hostages, killing more than 30 of the foreigners and 15 of the group's fighters. Earlier, Algerian security officials said that 20 of the hostages had escaped, including some Americans. The Al-Qaeda-linked militants stormed the complex early yesterday, saying the attack was in retaliation for France's military operation against other Islamist militants in neighboring Mali. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says he doesn't know why anyone beside people in the military would need armor-piercing bullets. Speaking to about 150 members of the 173rd Airborne Brigade Combat Team in Italy, Panetta defended President Obama's proposed gun control legislation, saying steps can be taken to protect school children without undermining the Second Amendment. National Rifle Association President David Keene told CBS's This Morning program that too much emphasis is being placed on banning certain firearms. Two economic numbers out this morning are moving in positive directions. The Labor Department says it's partly the result of seasonal fluctuations, but the number of people filing first-time claims for unemployment benefits fell to a five-year low last week. Meanwhile, the Commerce Department reports U.S. home construction surged 12.1% in December, making 2012 the best year since for residential construction since the start of the housing crisis. KJAN News Time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And the funeral announcements, Helene Nielsen, age 95, of Storm Lake, died Sunday. Services for Helene Nielsen will be today at 10:30 at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Storm Lake. The Fratsky and Jensen Funeral Home in Storm Lake is in charge of arrangements. Burial will be this afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Elkhorn Lutheran Cemetery in Elkhorn. Jolene Rustvold, age 67, of Audubon, died Sunday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Jolene Rustvold will be held today at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon is in charge of the arrangements. Frank Lesh, age 85, of Shelby, died Tuesday at the Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Frank Lesh will be held Friday, tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby has arrangements. Armand Photo and his wife Imogene, age 90 and 86 respectively, in both of Omaha and formerly of Oakland, died earlier this month in Omaha. A massive Christian burial service for Armand and Imogene Photo will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the St. Mary's Catholic Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. Bradley Richard Johns, age 54 of Las Vegas and formerly of Stewart, died January 6th. A memorial service for Bradley Johns will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Gaylord Knutson, age 91 of Irwin, died Wednesday in Harlan. Funeral services for Gaylord Knutson will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irwin. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Richard Shoesmith, age 78 of Stewart, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Richard Dean Shoesmith will be next Monday at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Mary Posh, age 69 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at her home. Memorial services for Mary Posh will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. And Eldon Weber, age 77 of Greenfield, died Wednesday at his shop in Greenfield. Funeral services for Eldon Weber are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news and funeral announcements were brought to you this morning by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.